At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hello and welcome to the Back to Movement podcast. I'm your host, Bernadette Gomez, and this show covers everything you need to know about back pain, fitness, wellness, and movement science. It is evidence-based, bringing you the latest scientific research along with expert tips. And my mission here is to help you achieve a healthy back, leading you to a life full of vitality with freedom of movement. And many of us brought up with the saying that sit and stand up straight with your shoulders back. But does current research and evidence support this view? What exactly does good posture mean? And does good posture prevent back pain and bad posture cause pain? Today, we are going to talk about posture with a very special guest. It is an absolute honor to introduce you to Mila Alashina. She is a functional movement coach, passionate about anatomy. She's a fully certified Pilates instructor and mobility specialist in Geneva, Switzerland. And I'm so excited to have her here with us. Please help me welcome Mila Alashina to the Back to Movement podcast. Mila, tell us your story. How did you become a Pilates instructor and a mobility specialist?
Hi, Bernadette. Well, first of all, thank you for having me here. I'm really excited to have connected with you and to find, you know, an instructor who's also looking at scientific research versus like trends or a very kind of narrow mindset of a lot that we see in the Pilates world today, unfortunately. So I'm super excited to be here discussing this topic, and everything that we have in store today is just my cup of tea. So I'm very happy to be here, and actually the honor is mine to be on your podcast. So thank you. As a quick intro for me, so my name is Mila Alashina, and I live in very close to Geneva in Switzerland. I am Ukrainian born, but I grew up in Zimbabwe. So English is kind of like my native language almost. And I ended up here in Switzerland for work a long time ago. And I had an admin job working in the aviation industry for a while. And because of some personal turmoil and issues that I experienced with my body, I needed to find movement that would restore my strength, just get me back to feeling strong within my own body, the way that I knew I was capable of feeling. But I didn't really have the answers. So I kind of started looking for them. You know, I was doing a little bit of like kickboxing, you know, as like great fitness, which was good, but I had to stop it because it was just too aggressive for me. And then I was looking at yoga. And even though that was nice, it wasn't offering me the muscle building it wasn't explaining movement the way that I was looking for answers. And that's how I came across Pilates, because Pilates was like this sweet spot where movement was very intentional. And I discovered, honestly, first time I ever tried Pilates, I actually bought the book, Joseph Pilates' Return to Life. And I started reading through it, and I loved the philosophy behind it. And I thought, okay, I need to know more about this. So I started training classically, then I went contemporary just to explore all options. And in the end, I decided to actually do a career change. And this was about 10 years ago. And that's when I switched and I decided to do a training in Stott Pilates, so Mary Thew, in Toronto, Canada. And it was just a great decision because I think Pilates, it's become so popular, you know, and there's many, many things that people associate with Pilates. But I like the balance that Mary Thew or Stott offered because it preserved the classical repertoire, but it was taught in a more contemporary way with a bit more, you know, anatomy and, you know, evidence-based techniques, Whether I would say that is enough is a different question, but at that time, it was an amazing start. It was like, wow, a great amount of information. And so I initially did it just for me, and it transitioned into being able to find a job really easily. And I figured out that I absolutely love working with other people who were searching for the same things that I was. And then as I progressed in my career, I just felt like, you know, some answers weren't there. So I kept looking, I kept digging. And during COVID, actually, I came across, I don't know how algorithm picked me up. I was actually following Lisa, another instructor, a Stott Pilates instructor who did the mobility journey. And I was like, okay, what is this? Tell me about it. And so we actually had a class together where she showed me what FRC, functional range conditioning, was. And that's when my direction kind of went so head forward into integrating mobility and Pilates together, because the training or the knowledge that came with the mobility training was just mind-blowing for me at the time. It was so incredible and so insightful. And that is how I kind of now, not transition, but I really integrate both Pilates and mobility training into how I teach.
Wow, I love it.
Thank you. And do you mind if I also ask you back, just to also know a bit more about your journey? Because I believe we have similar background training.
Very. I was going to say, yeah, I also started with Stott Merrithew Education, but in Australia, at Breathe Education now with Raphael Bender. And I just fell in love with Pilates. I was also working as an admin in one of the clinics in Sydney, Australia. And actually, I did hurt my back. So I came across with Pilates because a sports physician actually recommended Pilates for my low back pain. And I was very skeptical about Pilates because I thought, oh my God, you have to be flexible to do it. And I wasn't. I was actually a gym junkie before I came across with Pilates, you know. And I started with one-on-one sessions and I fell in love with it. I do believe that Pilates has a really good balance of everything, you know, strength, mobility, flexibility, and it worked for me. I fell in love with it.
Nice, nice.
So let's talk about posture, Mila. What do you think? What is posture anyway? How would we describe posture? Is it like a position in which someone holds their body when they are standing and sitting?
I think a lot of people, and I say a lot of people just based on my knowledge and experience of it, is it depends on who you're asking and what they're doing, right? Posture can be assumed as the way you sit, the way you stand. It can be static or dynamic. It can be the way you move. So I think most people associate posture, you know, that kind of Instagram visual of like a perfect posture. Yeah, and then you have all of these kind of slouched shoulders of like bad posture. Yeah. And then there's this, you know, nice, good posture standing upright. So I think a lot of people associate posture with just the static, you know, snapshot of your body at a given time.
Yes. Right. Actually, about slouching, I realize sometimes I do slouch. So if I would be sitting in front of my computer for 2 to 3 hours, I'm sure I would be slouching and my head would be forward and I would be probably holding my head because it's too heavy for me to, you know, to hold it anymore. So anyway, is there such thing as perfect posture or a good posture?
Good question. First of all, I am just like you. So I'm very often like this in front of my screen or like this on my phone. I try not to. But, you know, after a while, you kind of forget how you're sitting and you lose, you know, the alignment that we've all been kind of engraved, I guess, more as millennials of like, you know, sit up straight, shoulders down.
Yes.
So the concept of posture is an interesting one because maybe a good posture exists. I just don't know of it. You know, maybe one day we'll read research and we'll say, this is the best posture. I haven't read anything like this. I haven't learned anything like this other than my early stages in my, you know, movement journey where I was taught to assess a posture. I still look at somebody's posture, but I don't treat it like good or bad. It's just a snippets of somebody's position and time, you know, on a day-to-day, even that can change. So the idea of perfect posture, and it's become a hot topic, you know, recently, I think in the last few years, is because some more recent studies came out that saying that perfect posture doesn't exist, you know, and that good posture doesn't prevent back pain and bad posture doesn't cause it. And, you know, as information and science evolves and changes, maybe this information will be different. And it's okay, you know, for our minds to grow with the information that we have. But for the time being, this is some of the latest research showing this. And likewise, if posture, if there was such thing as good posture, you know, back pain wouldn't be the issue that it is. It's a huge problem in, you know, today's world. And there's this obsession with posture, like it's going to solve your issues. And I think, yes, that, you know, there's nice postures. It's good to interchange postures, but to fixate on a perfect posture hasn't given us the answers to our questions or in our seek of a pain-free back. And I don't know if we should be fixating so much on this word perfect posture, because I haven't seen it. I don't know much research that supports or shows what the perfect posture is. A lot of the stuff I see on social media is stuff that I'll go, no, like that's not a good posture to pop the ribs and pull the shoulders down. That sounds awful for your back, you know? So at this moment,
maybe it is comfortable for someone, you know, to, but everyone is different, right? I mean, for some people, it is comfortable to pull the shoulders back and, you know, pop the rib cage and, you know, expand the chest. But I don't think it looks natural. But maybe it's natural for someone, you know, we don't know.
It's true. And, you know, like maybe not, I don't know how much you can tell in my black shirt, but my shoulders are quite down. So my shoulders, if you do an assessment of me, my scapula are a little bit depressed. And I haven't like reassessed to see how it is now. But so for me, the advice of, you know, pull your shoulders back and down is pretty bad because I'm already like depressed in my scap. I'm not someone that sits like that. Exactly. But at the same time, even with my shoulders being a little bit more, you know, depressed or slanting down, I don't really have upper back pain that I can complain about that I could attribute to posture at all.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. Do you correct someone's posture when you are teaching them? You know, like bring the shoulders down, or, you know, if you see someone bringing their shoulders up, do you tell them to, you know, move the shoulder blades down, or do you do anything like that?
You know, it depends. So first, if we were just to look at posture, I do look at it. Like I mentioned, it's a snippet of how somebody moves. In certain movements, and it depends on the, you know, emphasis of the exercise, if we're lifting our hands over our head, you know, doing things like front or back rowing, absolutely not. Like our body was designed, you know, when we lift, we want to raise our scapula, our shoulders, because the whole act is to reach for something we can't otherwise reach for. So, you know, we want to go to our full length. So it depends on the exercise. I also don't look at exercise as right or wrong, but versus of how a person is moving through that exercise. And if I feel that they're trying to pull their shoulders down to compensate for potentially some, you know, thoracic flexion that they're trying to like hide by squeezing the shoulder blades back and down. To me, that's counterproductive. I would rather address the thoracic spine and work to improve the mobility there with exercise rather than tell someone to, you know, pull your shoulders down and back, which to me would be completely counterproductive. So yes, depending on the exercise, I would encourage shoulders going up or down, but I wouldn't go as far as correcting to say, this is the right way for this exercise. It just depends on the person and the exercise. How about you? Could you tell me a little bit of how you address this?
I actually used to correct someone's posture. I realized I just let them be. I just see how they are moving and go with the flow. And to me, I realized that someone's posture is changing because we change the load. For example, if I use all the springs on the gear bar and we are doing any exercise, that means that they change their posture because it is too heavy for them. And their shoulders are up now and they are compensating their whole body. So what I need to do is reduce the intensity of the exercise.
Yeah.
That's when I change. I don't say that bring, you know, keep the shoulders down. I think I need to adapt, or we need to adapt, you know, kind of like springs down, springs off, or maybe on, it depends. Mm-hmm. But I do realize that the intensity of the exercise can tell me if I need to change something, you know, or if you need to change something. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think there's, you know, there's a lot of misconception of this right way to do exercise. And I think in the Pilates space, there's a lot of that. There's, you know, a lot of like the right way to do a certain mm-hmm. exercise. And in that case, I would agree with you, you know, how a person moves or how their body acts is a response to the stress on the body. You know, I can have someone come into my class who is like this. And in that case, I'll just say, hey, just relax your shoulders. And that's like, probably somebody will tell you, oh yeah, Mila told me to put my shoulders down during class. And that's probably just because I saw them come into class like this. And just that alone helped us to get into a breath work and move around our day. But very often during exercise, how the person moves is not right or wrong, right? It's our cues, or it's our job as instructors to intervene and kind of help the person find the optimal load for them, help them move through exercise safely. And in my case, I'd argue as far as being able to work with, you know, shoulders up here, shoulders up there, because, you know, everyday life is like that. And we just have to be ready. Our body has to be strong. And it's not strong if we're always like this or always like this or like this, right? We need that whole range of motion in our bodies. So it's so subjective that it's absolutely, you know, almost impossible to say, I would never tell my clients to put their shoulders up. It just depends, right?
Exactly.
But for me, I rather see how the person moves and use that as an opportunity to interact or intervene in terms of exercise and load to see if we can find something that maybe stresses them a little bit less, maybe a little bit more, depending on the exercise.
It's really interesting you said that someone walks in, they are stressed and they have their shoulders up. So our mood does affect our posture, right? So you just confirmed that our mood affects. So when we are stressed, then you can actually tell if someone is stressed, right?
Yeah, you know, if, you know, we all know, like waking up in the morning and we had like a crappy sleep and, you know, the coffee hasn't kicked in yet. Mm. And it's just all like that. You know, one of the research, actually the one that talks about, you know, good or bad posture, it goes as far as saying, you know, your best posture is your next posture. So even, you know, us sitting perfectly or being in a good mood and being like this the whole day, it's also not great if, you know, our spine was designed to move and respond to stress or load. And yes, when we're stressed, we end up getting a bit more here. And that's okay, because we notice it. The, you know, self-awareness is such a big player. And that is our opportunity to return more up, maybe open up a little bit to, you know, vary the way our body, the way we find our body for, you know, prolonged hours.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it does help if you, like if you're working in an office or at your desk or in front of the computer for 8 to 10 hours, I think the best advice would be stand up, walk around a little bit, move your shoulders, wiggle around a little bit, get up for a glass of water. And then I bet you're going to feel better. Like your whole body is going to feel better because you moved, because motion is lotion, right? You changed your posture, you changed your position, you moved, because our body, we made to move. We were born to move.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I absolutely agree with you on what you say. We were born to move. If we look at the way that our body has evolved, right? It didn't evolve by chance. Right. So the fact that we have so many vertebrae in our spine is an indication that, you know, the spine is supposed to be mobile. You know, our femur is just, you know, a big bone like this. It's because we're not supposed to, we didn't evolve to like bend our femur halfway. So we, our body is, you know, telling us everything we need to know. And that's why when we go back to this question of perfect posture. Well, perfect posture for who? For how long? You know, because we have so many vertebrae, they're dying to be mobile and move around. So if you're going to put them in any perfect posture for a long time, they're not going to be happy there. Obviously, certain positions put more stress or load on the body versus others, but it doesn't mean we should always remove load. We should always relax our shoulders. Contrary, you know, we should change things around and be able to be strong in the entirety of our movement.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. So many people believe that poor posture is causing back pain.
Yeah.
It's a very interesting topic, right?
Yeah.
Is this true that
you know,
poor posture is causing back pain?
It's a good question. And I think there might be some disagreements in, you know, not just in the Pilates world, but in, you know, fitness or movement space in general. And my question always goes down with poor posture for what? You know, bad posture for what? Sometimes when you sit for a long time and you're slouching like this for hours, that's poor posture. Sure, your neck is going to hurt. You sit upright, you know, in like a military position, again, like you're going to put stress on your body. And if you do that for a long time, yes, definitely. You know, we have the plumb line, which is, you know, as we've been taught before, and I think especially in the Pilates world, it's the one that puts the least amount of pressure on your body. Great. But like that the whole day, also not great, because it goes back to what we've just said. Our bodies were designed to move. And we have, if we have a joint, that means the body was designed to move in that area. So does poor posture cause back pain? Recent research is indicating that no. I wouldn't know if there's something obviously that I don't know about, but yes, as far as I'm aware, no, every posture is a poor posture if you hold it for hours without moving.
Yeah, I you know, agree
that's
with
why,
that.
Like, you can't compare children to adults, obviously, but there is this link. If you see like a kid slouching in front of the TV, but you know, the next day he's going to go and play football, or they're going to go do some cartwheels later, and they're so dynamic. And yes, we can't compare it to an adult because, you know, we're not going to go do cartwheels or play football after this. But is that because posture's affected it, or is it because now we find that, you know, most of our days like this, we're at our desk like this, we're on our couch like this, we sleep like this.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're maintaining a position of whatever it is for such a long time, hence so much stress goes onto the back. And obviously that goes to say there's always a diagnosis or something else that could be, you know, making things worse than, or pain worse than it than one would expect. But poor posture for who?
Yeah, I agree with that. But I'm more of a, I have more curve in my lower back,
yeah,
you know, more lordotic, right? And they used to say that, oh, you have your back pain because you have an excessive, you know, more excessive, your back is not flat, right? And I used to believe in that, you know, and now I know that's not the case. Mm-hmm. And of course, we have kyphosis, lordosis, you know, we can go through all the postures. But it turns out, as research confirms, that posture does not cause back pain, because pain is anyway multifactorial. There is not one single cause, unless it's a specific back pain like, you know, fracture, cancer, quadriceps. That's a different story. But we know that pain is multifactorial, so posture alone is not going to cause back pain. So we have to look at other factors, you know, like sleep, physical activity, you know, all the other things, right?
Of course. And, you know, it's so easy because, no, it's not so easy. It's actually quite challenging because people like simplicity. Like, we all like to have, you know, something that we can put blame on. And posture is an easy one, because we are all subject to poor posture. You know, we all slouch or hyperextend or do weird things. So it's so easy to say like, oh yes, fix your posture, fix your back pain. And it sounds so like, wow, I'm going to, you know, swipe on that Instagram post, or I'm going to read that article, because it sounds doable. you know, and we want the easy solution and the easy answer. And it's much harder to come to the realization that, you know, pain, like you said, back pain is multifactorial. And, you know, I've had clients who don't have any neck pain, and they've been told that they have a flat cervical, like they don't have the natural curvature of the neck, but they're not in pain. They're active and they're strong. And likewise, people who have lordosis or extra lordosis in their lumbar spine, depending what, you know, the perfect amount, you know, is, I wouldn't be able to, again, answer that because I wouldn't be able to say, but the excessive one that we focus on, again, if they're without pain, what are we correcting? Right? And that's not to say that we shouldn't strengthen the body and try to strengthen the muscles in general. Of course we should. But to blame a specific position to back pain, it's not working. It hasn't worked. You know, the WHO is projecting an increase by about 34% in back pain. And so it's clearly the research that we have now is leading us in the direction to believe that, okay, possibly poor posture is not the answer to this question. So yeah, I guess in this area, I think poor posture is just very trendy. It's become very popular, and it's a very easy bad guy to look out for. I just do believe that it's a lot more complex, and not just from research, but also from just working. Most of my clients experience some sort of back pain or injury. And working with that, I can also see that it doesn't go down to posture. It doesn't boil down to posture.
Yeah. So do you also believe that we shouldn't pay as much attention to posture rather than just move? Like, instead of focusing on posture, just move your body. Focus on physical activity rather than, oh my God, how do I look? Is my shoulder down? You know, like instead of focusing on posture, just move, right?
I definitely agree with you. And I think the answer is really, it depends. So when I first have a client come to see me, I always start with an assessment. I do look at the posture. I look at the static posture, and then I do a joint assessment. And then for me, that gives a good baseline because I've never worked with the person. So I can see their tendencies, their preferences. So I do look at posture, as I mentioned. It's just not the holy grail of how I teach people. Movement usually will tell me how or where the compensations are. Not the compensations are always bad, but they're another good indicator for how we want to address the body, how we want to work with the person. But I do focus on movement, and I think I learn more about my clients through how they move.
Exactly.
Versus a static posture. So yeah, for me, it's a nice tool. I have it in my toolbox. I use it. I just don't base everything around posture. To me, even the idea of like, oh, we improved your posture is usually like, okay, that's nice. You know, it's something visual for the client if we, you know, improved how they hold themselves. But did their pain level improve? Did their shoulder mobility improve? Are they able to go about their daily lives feeling confident and strong and not afraid that their back will kick out? That to me is an indication of success, not snapshots of somebody. Because also, you know, you see like before and afters of posture. And how do you think the after was achieved? The before was taken before somebody assumed a posture. And then the after is taken once somebody has been told what the right posture is. So they probably already know how they want to pose for the camera. So again, posture is very subjective. And it really doesn't tell me much in my practice. And I think for a lot of people, it doesn't play a huge role, or at least not the role that it's made out to play.
Yeah, I used to do postural analysis before, but now I'm more interested how they do squats, lunges, push-ups, and pull-ups, and to see where they are at and not the posture. I see them, they walk in, if they have their two legs, two arms, you know, I know what to do. Yeah. I've seen clients with only one arm and we had a perfect workout because I adjusted the workout for them. Mm-hmm. But I'm more interested in their how they move rather than their posture because that tells me more. Their physical activity and how they move physically tells me more about them than anything else.
Of course. And, you know, if we're looking at somebody who walks in and you're trying to assess their posture, they may have, you know, the typical good posture that, you know, we've all learned to associate
exactly.
with. But if they have unexplained some low back or mid-back pain, and then you notice that when they raise their arm, they have limited shoulder mobility, so they have to hyperextend. Again, posture alone does not tell us that. You know, if somebody has a limitation in their hip extension when they walk or, you know, like when they do a lunge, that you can't see in a static posture. So alone posture doesn't really tell us too much other than how the person feels in that moment and what they've been led to believe good posture is and how they translate it into their body. So absolutely agree with you. Movement says a lot more than, you know, a snapshot of a position.
And I see, you know, I usually work with people, with women with low back pain, and I can definitely tell if someone has low back pain. I think we can all do that. You know, the way they walk, the way they sit down, the way they stand up, they don't even have to say they have low back pain. I can tell they have low back pain because you can just see how they move, right?
Yeah, absolutely. How would you, so if you're looking at your patients, at your clients that come into your studio to work with you, where would you start with them? So what is your kind of entry point? So you mentioned you will see how they do some lunges, some squats in order to identify how they move. And then what are some of your baselines of, you know, achievement or let's say progress that you're going for? You know, like some people say, oh, posture has improved. What are your kind of steps that you say, okay, we've reached some milestones?
So first of all, I do see clients here face to face, but I actually do more of online trainings now. So women with back pain, usually they just want to be pain-free, right? So they just literally, their goal is to touch their toes and be pain-free. Literally, that's all they wish. So when I see someone, first of all, I need to see how they move, what's their physical activity, how much they sleep, you know, about their health. And usually we have a discussion first and then I see them, you know, how they move. We do some squats, some basic things. Mm-hmm. If they can do some squats or lunges, if they can do any sort of push-ups. And we, most of the time, we start with wall push-ups because it's absolutely okay, and especially women. And I'm talking about myself. I don't like push-ups. And I never worked on push-ups until 2 years ago. So we usually start with wall push-ups and then progressively, gradually, we move to kneeling push-ups and then to full push-ups. Mm-hmm. And they get confident in their bodies and they are less in pain. They are more mobile. They are happier. And they are just more confident in their bodies.
Yeah, I think, you know, everything you just said is to me a much greater evidence of success in with clients versus a posture or versus, you know, trying to, you know, fix posture. And so, you know, a lot of clients that I see will be like, oh yeah, it's because of my bad posture, or can we address the posture? And it's, you know, some of the things that you have to tread carefully on those topics because there's so much hype around how we should be. And for me, if I can teach someone that, you know, your level of progress is your ability to do everything you couldn't do with confidence, as you said, and that freedom, that's the ultimate goal. And, you know, your how you carry yourself will change because the more confidence you have, and this goes back to what you mentioned earlier, our mood effect. So the more confident we are in our posture, the lighter, lighter is not the best word, but the more open we're going to be when we carry ourselves, you know. I think that has a better effect on posture than focusing on posture, you know?
Exactly. I absolutely agree with that. And actually, I was researching some research papers, and I live in Hungary now. Mm-hmm. And I found a really interesting research paper for kids at school. And they are actually emphasizing, and they put so much pressure on kids how they should hold their body and on posture. It's very interesting. And this research paper is fairly new, from 2021. They approved it in 2021. And so imagine the pressure on the kids that they have to have a certain type of posture, you know, like the perfect posture. And they even said in the research paper that they, I'm going to read a little bit of this because this is really interesting, that they have to. So this is posture correction as part of the holistic health promotion in Hungarian schools. So this is the research paper. And the biomechanically correct posture is based on the correct middle position of the pelvis and the physiological sagittal curves above it. And of course, you know, they have figure A, B, C, D, E, you know, the, anyway, the posture types. And what do you think about pressuring kids that they should have the perfect posture? What do you think?
You know, given that I don't see a lot of kids with back pain, I would say why even go there? But maybe I'm the wrong person to ask. You know, again, when I give my opinions or my thoughts, they're based on my research, my findings. So if there's something better to correct me, I'm always up to learn more if anyone will have such a correction. But in my case, why are we trying to correct something that is doing well? You know, so if the children, if it's a group of children that, for example, is experiencing a lot of back pain and they're trying to find an intervention to make it, to improve their condition, sure. But if they're healthy, active children, we should, you know, probably learn a little bit more from them versus tell them what to do, because we're the ones that are getting it all wrong with our back pains. So I think, first of all, for a young kid, that kind of, I mean, how would they know that awareness even of your own body in space, I think, is very challenging. Personally, if these kids don't have pain, I wouldn't really understand why we would want to get them to sit a certain way. I think the more active a kid is, the better.
Better. I'm not saying that this is bad, because movement is good. But to pressure a kid to hold a perfect posture, and we don't even know what the perfect posture is. We just discussed it, that everyone is different. Everyone is unique, right? We have different skin colors. We are different. We have different personalities, and that's absolutely fine. And we should emphasize that, you know, like, it is okay to be different. It is absolutely fine. We don't have to be the same, you know. And this research paper just came across. I was actually looking at research papers for this podcast. Mm-hmm. And this was a big surprise. So going back to our conversation, can we change someone's posture with special exercises? What do you think?
To some degree, when you address muscle imbalances, you're addressing how the person, you know, moves and holds themselves. So, I've seen results with exercise to a certain degree affecting somebody's static posture. It would just depend what it is. Is it somebody's just poor body awareness that you've reignited, or did you address an imbalance that just got them, you know, feeling better, and so they're standing better, maybe carrying themselves better. But it's not a one-size-fits-all kind of answer, at least not that I've come across. So to a certain degree, exercise, I believe, and I've seen this happen, improves the posture to a certain degree, but not in all cases. Somebody who has you know, kyphosis that mm-hmm. Is, you know, an exaggerated kyphosis of the spine, maybe exercise will not return them to the more, you know, what we have associated as like that better curvature. Mm-hmm. But with exercise, maybe there'll be some improvement in how they carry themselves, how they go about certain movement. And there will be some sort of improvement in how they carry themselves and thereby their posture. So to some extent, I believe exercise plays a really great role. I don't think it is the case for everyone or for every kind of back or person. How about you?
There was a really interesting research paper about, you know, lordotic people enter your pelvic tilt, mm-hmm. you know, and we try to change that. And it turns out we cannot. Like, I have an anterior pelvic tilt with the lordosis, you know, because we know that pelvis alters the shape of your low back anyway. And I've been working on my low back for with Pilates for 15 years and nothing really changed except I've got stronger, more confident, and I feel amazing in my body, but my posture is the same.
Yeah.
Probably. Maybe I stand up a little bit taller, you know, because I'm more confident in my body, but my posture and my lordosis did not change. It's... Yeah. It's there. It's me. It's part of who I am.
Yeah. I think, you know, there's always an extent to which we can improve the well-being of the body. And there's so many, like we said, so many better indicators of improved well-being or pain-free movement that posture alone is such a poor indicator of that. You know, it's a little glimpse into something, but it is a poor indicator of success or pain-free body.
Oh, yeah. We move differently, right? And we should embrace that rather than telling that, oh, this is the correct way to actually even do a squat or a deadlift, right? Our techniques are different. And we can see that, you know, like champions lifting heavy weights, some knees go in, some knees go out.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, this is something that my mobility training in functional range conditioning has really taught me, is that the best thing we can do for our body is give it more space to play in. So we improve, you know, not flexibility per se, but overall mobility. So our active range of motion, the range of motion in which we are strong, the more movement variability we have to do a certain task. And you gave a great example. So I'm not really into like powerlifting or anything like that. But, you know, I've seen enough videos to see these guys' forms. And the heavier the loads you see, the more little compensations that happen on the way up. And they're... I mean, they perform these under so much load with, I don't know what their level of injury is like afterwards, but it just goes to show that if you're strong in a certain range, then you can do the task. Because injury is, you know, it's a simple equation of, you know, when load exceeds the maximum bearing capacity. So if somebody who does not, somebody who trains squats, in a neutral spine, you know, let's take a mom, for example, because it's something many of us can, you know, relate, like picking your kid off the floor, you're not always going to be in your neutral spine, right? Sometimes you're exhausted and you're going to just bend over in the most awkward position to pick your kid up. And the truth is, if all you've ever trained your spine is to take load in neutral, then your spine is ready to take load in neutral, but it's not ready to take it in another position. So the more movement variability you can give your body, the more access or the more pain-free movement you're going to have, because now your body is ready to take on load. And a lot of, you know, I've had clients that have a lot of injuries because of like the having a bigger dog and it pulls on the leash. So it's the flexion mm-hmm. rotation, mm-hmm. you know, and if we think of it, we think, oh my gosh, that's a terrible way to load the spine. Whereas for me, that is exactly how they were injured. So that means that they lacked strength to resist load in that position. So training in multiple planes of motion is exactly what is going to help someone mitigate. We can't prevent fully, right? But we can reduce our chance of injury by getting the body ready in all planes of motion. So it's like you said, no, we don't, I don't personally train to always be neutral. Sometimes yes, sometimes we go round back, sometimes a little extension, depending on what we're trying to achieve and depending where the person is in their movement journey.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. So instead of worrying about your posture, trying to find the perfect position, I think they should try and move their body rather than, you know, find the perfect posture and stay active, because your body is designed to move. And I think, why not experiment with different postures when sitting and standing? And even when you work out, you know, explore different postures, different positions. You know, look at kids. They have these awkward postures and positions when they sit, stand, sleep, and they are pain-free, literally. You know, they have no issues, you know, and they are comfortable with what they do. Yeah. So I think we should focus more on staying active and enjoy and do the things with confidence, right?
Yeah,
I think because every posture is a good posture.
Yeah, and you know, you actually just said something that I think actually deserves just to be mentioned again, is to do things with confidence. You know, if you only train your body in a particular position, going out of that position means you will lose. You're not as confident because you're not as ready for it. And the only way you become confident, like towards anything, you know, a presentation, is if you come prepared. Right? So the body has to be prepared for the movement that you want to do. And the body doesn't know these rules that we've made up. It just moves in the way that it needs to move in order to complete the task that you have set out before it. And we have to be adaptable to that. And that comes with, you know, like you said, movement, exploring ranges of motion, you know, working to improve range of motion, increase mobility, rather than restrict us to a certain right or wrong.
Yeah. And I do believe that you get confident when you get out of your comfort zone and you completed the task. Like I just started my podcast. This is my fourth podcast that I'm recording. And the first one, oh my goodness, it was a disaster for me. You know, it was, oh, I hope this one is better. So anyway, we all learn, and I think we grow when we get out of our comfort zone. If we explore, not always the same thing what we do, but something different. And don't be scared to do something different, you know, because that's how you get confident.
Absolutely.
To get out of your comfort zone and do something else, do something different, right?
Absolutely. Stay mobile, stay active, and just keep exploring. I definitely agree with you there.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much, Mila, for your time and being with me. And thanks for listening to the Back to Movement podcast with your host, Bernadette Gomez, and our very special guest, Mila Alashina. I hope you enjoyed the podcast and all the insights you learned about posture and the myths. And that's all for this episode, folks. See you next time.